folks, remember you can find us at DramaticCinematic.com. And of course, you can also listen to the show on Stitcher, look us up on iTunes, or you can also find us on Facebook, Dramatic Cinematic. Don't forget to look us up on Twitter, at PC Podcast Crew. Now on to the show. Greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Traumatic Cinematic Show. I am your host to all your internet pleasures tonight. I have two spoonfuls worth of co-hosts with me tonight. Two dashes of personality. Hunk. Dory personality. I've got a West Coastern and a Midwestern personality with me. We've got Mr. David DeMoss.
It's all right, Captain. We always knew you were a whoopsie.
West Coast style, he says. And also, right here in my hometown, Indianapolis, Indiana, Mr. Mike Whitcliffe.
I was going to make a quote, but Dave stole my quote, so I'm not going to make a quote from there.
You guys...
Great minds, Mike.
We
great minds.
We watch a lot of stuff here, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, you. Unless this is your first lesson, if you go back and listen to some of the past episodes, or just look and see what we've done, we really have a large variety of different things that we watch and consume, and that's partially because
I consume cupcakes.
I
consume alcohol.
I used to consume Twinkies, but I can't anymore. Anyways.
They're coming back. You can get Dreamy Cakes.
It's not the same. It's not. I've tried Twonkies. Tasty Cakes. I don't like Twonkies. They're not the same.
No sane man does. It's okay.
So, we do. We consume a lot of different movies. And it's a lot of that comes from being three different co-hosts, or three different hosts here. We're all picking different movies. We've actually set up a really clever calendar, even though we didn't really write or design it, and it's probably been around for forever.
I don't know if it's clever.
But we're organized. It's a lot better.
We're doing a sure sight better than some organizations.
We're better than we were 3 months ago. So...
Fair enough.
But we each pick different movies, and sometimes we feel like we're punishing ourselves. And this one was actually originally picked for February. This was supposed to be a Valentine's Day movie. And speaking of which, the movie I'm talking about is Snow School? Did we watch Snow School?
I do want to see that Snow Piercer that's coming up.
Ooh, Hoth? Is this got David Hasselhoff in it?
And I think it's Chanwook Park, so.
Oh, I'm already.
I know, right?
I'm a princess, tricked into being a witch's slave. Will you liberate me?
This was left at the wall for you. Says here, his name is Tristan.
Tristan Thorne. Pardon, I lost my job, I'm sorry.
Oh, Tristan, a shooting star!
For your hand in marriage, I'd cross the wall and bring you back that voice.
Ormond! A star has fallen.
Only he of royal blood can restore the ruby. And the one of you that does so shall be the new king of Stormhold.
to the new king.
When I return with our prize, all of us shall be young again. Never fear, my... For old Cloudy, shut up. I know what you are, and I swear... I seek a fallen star. She fell not far from here. And when I find her, I shall take my great knife.
Who are you?
Look at the game.
So this movie, I have to admit, I've never heard of, seen of, or watched this movie before. But since we had like this penciled in, scheduled for months ago, I had actually seen it on one of my movie channels in high def. So I put it on record on my DVR and never watched it. I put it on save, on keep, make sure it didn't delete it. And so,
because Dave watched it.
Because Dave watched it, he made us... You know, he's like, oh, we've got to do this because I have 19 pages of notes. I have skits that I've practiced and stood in front of the mirror and said over and over again so I could go onto these tangents.
Until the words lost all meaning, yes. Because I'm a complete idiot for whatever day, you know, whatever week that was, I watched this
movie. It's every week, Dave. It's every
instead,
week.
Yes.
Instead of something else, so it was much worse.
No, but yeah, instead of whatever it was, I watched this movie.
And you're like, well, we're going to watch this instead of this, but it doesn't matter. It's neither here nor there. So, all right, here we are, folks. We watched Stardust, and I played this movie Sunday, and I'm kind of looking at the computer, watching the movie, and I'm like, oh, holy shit, who's that? Is that who I think it is? And so I just keep watching. I'm like, Is that dude was a billy goat just a second ago. Like, hold on. She's all like, isn't that Michelle? What the fuck am I watching? And the wife comes in. That's Claire Danes. I'm like, who the fuck is Claire Danes? She's like, that she's Claire Danes. I was like, oh, I'm like, she's hot, but like, it makes me feel old, but I had no idea this movie existed. Like, I have no idea how this slipped underneath the radar, but I blamed it. I've watched this movie four times this week because until tonight, I couldn't make it through the movie without getting distracted and like wandering off and losing track of the whole movie of what was really going on. I don't know why, but this movie seemed to have a hard time connecting with it. But tonight it's an awesome, beautiful movie. But holy fuck, it's like trying to figure out how to make a woman orgasm. It's like I had to fucking gag on this movie until I fucking got it.
Maybe that's why I like the movie first time.
Oh,
exactly. Some of us don't have
that. I'm sorry, that joke was uncalled for and not usually my kind of joke, but sometimes something's just sitting there right in front of me and you just have to
And you just gotta stick the tip in.
Well, a little bit, yeah.
But that said, Louis, I can tell you why. I have a theory, if you'll indulge me for a moment.
Oh, I'll indulge your engorgedness.
Because we never indulge Dave.
Dave's engorged. Yeah. Watch out.
As he goes off on these crackpot theories.
No, this movie, right, Stardust, is based on a 1988 fantasy novel, originally published as four big-ass hardcover books, basically, graphic novels, but, you know, like books, written by famous comic book writer Neil Gaiman and illustrated by a guy named Charlie Vess. Have you
really? Did I not even? I didn't even fucking do any of my research, did I?
That's okay. That's why I'm here. I have a niche to fill.
That's okay. Dave was actually wrong. It was 99 that it came out.
99. So. Okay. I mistyped.
Not 88.
Okay, Neil Gaiman, so same guy that did the Sandman comics, all right?
Yep. Exactly. And
same guy who did Coraline, same guy who did, American Gods, which I wish they'd finally just do. HBO supposedly was going to do that a while ago.
And they'd be perfect for it because that's the thing about this movie.
I don't even see his name. I'm looking at IMDb. I don't even see his name. Like, where the fuck is it? Director, writers? Oh, is he the one more credit?
He's probably the one more credit. And, usually and the so, writer of the original material gets the that's one bullshit. More credit.
Oh, yeah. He actually came up.
He wasn't involved with the screenplay.
Oh, and that's why this movie is just kind of – it's like a V8 engine running on 5.5 cylinders.
Exactly. This movie should have been
it's all there. It's all there. But it's half of it was left behind. Is that what it is? Is half this movie is still
apparently,
on the cutting room
apparently
floor?
Apparently when he did the audiobook version of this, Gaiman figured out that there was about 10.5 hours worth of material. So he for the longest time he was trying to get this movie made. I mean, if it came out in 98, so,
yeah, this
see
is
how long
an epic
took.
This is an epic like a Star Wars like epic story.
Oh,
huge.
It absolutely could have been.
Well, I felt that. I actually got that feeling of the enormity of this universe, that, like, these different things weren't just, like, some little idea somebody had just to make the story move along, right? To move
you know
the plot.
What?
That it was...
This would be the kind of thing... I mean, the movie itself just came out a few years ago, but 5, 6, 7, 8 years from now, I could see them redoing it.
Well, that's what totally. It needed to be. It needed to be a trilogy. And as much as they love that, it was 2007. I mean, shit, they had already figured this out by then. I don't know. Like, wow.
They had,
like,
the book is actually quite a bit different. The witches are much more minor characters
really?
In the actual book.
Well, they're definitely the big nemesis in this. I mean, that's what actually
apparently that happened when Michelle Pfeiffer signed on.
Oh.
I'm not surprised. Yeah,
because
I have to be pretty for at least 43% of the movie.
Exactly.
Apparently, Matthew Vaughn is mildly obsessed with Michelle Pfeiffer, and has been since he saw her in Grease 2.
Yeah,
so he was the one person who was able to sit all the way through Grease 2. Apparently,
I've been there. I've actually we twit flexed it and actually did. Yeah, yeah.
That
I've
movie been, hurts yeah. me.
Oh, far no, like that, hey, that was like, wasn't that Sylvester Stallone's directorial debut and writing debut?
I thought that, no, his writing, no, that was Rocky.
That was Rocky. But no.
No, I'm pretty sure, I thought, maybe not, maybe not. No,
I'm, no it was
I
Death
thinking
Race
of the Italian Stallion.
I don't know, like, I thought that Grease.
Which is not true, he only had a minor role, but that's another story.
Yeah, did he get a writing credit for that? No, with this though, they were Matthew Vaughn, right? Let's go with that because this is his first. No, this isn't his first movie, is it? This is his.
No, it was his second movie, I think, because he'd done Layer Cake, and then he was going to do X-Men, and then he canceled out of X-Men to do.
He was going to do. We should say he was going to do X-Men 3: The Last Stand.
Right.
But he gratefully backed away from that.
Well,
I
still say, especially since he did come back and direct X-Men First Class, which was really good, I still say if he had done X-Men 3, it would have been okay.
And that's a very strong possibility that I will not discount.
He also directed Kick-Ass, which I really enjoyed.
Exactly, because I've seen Kick-Ass. Yeah, I've seen what this guy can do. Yeah. Yeah, and so this is what this guy can do.
No, we all like Kick-Ass because the little girl in it would say, fuck. And
no, I like
just
Kick-Ass.
Like, oh, damn, she's a bad motherfucker.
I like Kick-Ass because it was good.
And, it
Kick-Ass
was good.
2 looks like it's going to be a ton of fun.
It does.
There was
tons of fun.
Nicolas Cage role
yeah,
ever.
He's basically Adam West.
And gee, Mark Strong as a major villain again.
Well, let's go through some of this. You got Michelle Pfeiffer, who was Catwoman. You got Mark Strong, who was Sinestro. Got Henry Cavill, who is the new Superman.
Yeah,
the guy from the British Office. The what's his name? The
what?
What? Yes. Sorry, man.
I was going through superheroes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Superheroes. Oh, my bad.
Well,
my bad.
Who's our? Speaking of which, who's our narrator for Stardust? I mean,
Magneto.
Yeah, let's start off with that. I mean, because his is the first voice we hear.
Oh, yeah, I guess it is, isn't it?
And
I had no idea. I had no idea the connections of all that. Wow, that's amazing.
And to me, this is like, well, to me, that was like the big tip off right away that this, someone got a hold of this at some point and was like, fuck it. We're going to turn this into the next Lord of the Rings slash Harry Potter.
Well, it absolutely could have been.
Slash whatever. Yeah, because this was 07. The Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Rupert Everett, Peter O'Toole.
Oh, God, yes. Peter O'Toole's in this movie, too. Jesus.
Well, like,
De Niro. Freaking De Niro is in this movie, and it's one of my favorite things I've ever seen him do.
He was awesome in it, and plays a very unique character. You know what? Like, there is two different movies that this movie reminds me of a lot, and it would be Adventures of Baron Munchausen and The Princess Bride.
Yep.
That's brilliant. Oh, and wow.
Combine those two movies, and you're getting pretty close.
Yeah, it really is. Okay. With a little bit of the Witch, the Wardrobe, and whatever, like those kind of epic kids, yeah, Narnia, kind of epic, like kid movie kind of things, all kind of mixed together. It was just, this movie was way bigger than the tortilla shell that I had to really wrap around.
It deserved to do a lot better in the U.S. Yes, than it did.
It deserved to be more than one movie. I didn't realize the depth of this, but I could tell, that's why I wanted to watch it so much, because I wanted to get this movie. But if you don't pay attention, this movie moves so fast. If you get up and go to the bathroom in the first 10 minutes, the movie's ruined. That's true. There is no like figuring out what happened really, because like especially in a movie that is kind of different it's like holy shit, and they don't like really kind of beat you over the head.
They don't sit there and belabor the point. They say, okay, here's the thing. Let's move on.
Well, they don't have time to. Like when you're trying to fit five hours of a movie into 2 hours and 10 minutes or whatever it was, 127 minutes.
Yeah, that's barely. Yeah,
that's a lot of movie. That's a long movie, but that's still.
It's comparable to the theatrical cut of 1984's Dune.
Dune. Yes, Dune was the tortilla shell was too little for that one also.
And it's holding back this massive torrent of fantasy world building that you can tell somebody did at some point.
Oh, absolutely. This is absolutely a fully developed world.
Yes. Yeah, yes, Mike. Like Gene Roddenberry kind of like developed.
And I'd say it's very Gaiman-esque, knowing what I do of his work. I mean, this reminded me more than anything of one of his earlier books, Neverwhere.
It feels a bit like Good Omens too.
Except in those cases, like the fantasy world was just coexisting with our own. It didn't have like a wall that you could jump over. Right. This is more classical. This is, dare I say, it's more English.
Yeah, it's a fairy tale. It's absolutely a fairy tale.
Yeah, there you go. And like all fairy tales, it starts off, we have to make a big deal. We can't just start off with the hero. We have to start off before the hero is born and make a big deal out of his fucking parents. Just like Arthur Pendragon before him.
Isn't that not what Star Wars was? That's what makes the epic.
Star Wars is only like that if you go back and watch episodes 1, 2, and 3 before 4, 5, and 6.
But some of that was implied when Leia was his sister, when Leia was his sister, you know, and Vader is his father, like it's all like that backstory was already implied. It was there. That epicness is there, and that you know, that's...
Yeah, this should have been at least two movies, but, you know, what do
you do? If you're
going
to do two movies, you might as well do three, right? If you're going to if you got two movies worth of material already written, you might as well fluff it out, make three movies, and then at least leave room for prequels.
It's really simple. I mean, the middle chapter is, the first chapter, you get all the exposition out of the way. The middle chapter, everything goes wrong, things suck. And in the third, you've gotten everything out of the way, and like including the character development, and you can wrap it all up in a great big fucking fight or something.
Well, apparently, we'll call it
Burrito.
Yeah, we kind of get that, but apparently,
Gaiman has apparently talked about doing a sequel or just another book set in the world of Wall. So,
So it could be, it could come to us. And he's finally resolved his legal dispute with Todd McFarlane, so he might have time to actually do it now.
In a fairly spectacular fashion, too. Did you hear about that? Angela is joining the Marvel Universe in, like, the world's biggest middle finger.
Yes, that makes no fucking sense whatsoever, but I don't care.
Nope, I love
McFarlane.
It.
Todd McFarlane is getting screwed.
Fuck you, Todd McFarlane.
Yeah, that's all I care about. My Schadenfreude is, you know, up to 12 these days.
What you know is crazy, seeing Todd McFarlane on The Talking Dead after one episode one night, and I was like, holy shit.
They had him, Todd really?
They had him on Talking Dead.
Well, you got to remember, he makes the toys.
Right, oh, okay. But still, he doesn't ever go on TV, and to see him on there, it's like, holy fuck.
Well, that's because every time he does television, somebody brings rotten fruit.
Yeah, and every time he gets to reveal to the world his horrible.
I spent another $1 million on baseballs.
Yeah, in his horrible empty expression, just that 1,000-yard stare.
I'm dead inside.
Yeah, who doesn't give a fuck and hasn't since like 1989 ish.
Oh come on, give me more credit than that. 94.
94, yeah, you think? I don't know.
I'd say 94, 95.
I don't know. You read Spawn numbers 1 through 5 again, and see.
I liked the Max.
Me too.
The Max was great, Max. But he had nothing to do with the Max.
I know. Yeah. Everyone else was all like jizzing over. I was buying the Spawn toys when they started coming out, but I liked the Max. I liked the bell bottom wearing Julie.
Oh, me too.
Now the best stuff that comes out of Image is their non-superhero stuff, with the possible exception of, you know, Invincible, which is still fantastic. Walking Dead's their big breadwinner, but even that's kind of split off into its own little, you know, Skybound, which is his imprint, and then but stuff like Little Depressed Boy is my favorite stuff, so.
Oh, Mike, is it okay? Do you need a hug? Do you need a hug, Mike?
No, that's just the name of the comic.
You don't have to tell us your feelings through your comic titles.
That's the name
titles.
Of the comic book.
Okay.
And the guy that writes it is a friend of mine, so shut up.
Awesome. Okay.
Struble's all a cool guy. All right.
And he's a very happy man in real life, I'm sure.
That's what makes this story ironic. That's what makes it so good. All right, so this obviously was... That's what I was hoping to hear.
We got off on comic talk a little bit.
Well, but as we should have, because apparently this movie is a lot more connected to the comic world, or is the part of the comic world.
Like I said, in a way that
Superman, I didn't realize.
Superman, Sinestro, and Catwoman all in the same movie.
Yeah, I mean, and
Humphrey, you can't tell by looking at him, but Henry Cavill is Humphrey.
Yep,
the guy that's currently playing Superman in Man of Steel is the rival for Sienna Miller.
The boy back in town, and one of the most thankless parts you can have. But that's, you never know where these people come from. I mean, Jesus.
When I watched this again, I watched it with the commentary on, and this is from a few years ago before he was cast.
Oh, what did you watch this on? Is this a Criterion?
No, it's not out on Criterion, but I do own it on Blu-ray.
Oh,
and
excellent.
You.
No. I love this movie, Mike. This movie
is
absolutely something you have to stay glued to this movie from start to finish. Otherwise, like I said, it will get past you and you'll be lost.
It's kind of like watching Lost, but with a much better payoff.
There is just some beautiful scenes of like one of my favorite scenes, especially from watching it over and over again, that I always would stop for that I paid attention to start to finish in my multiple viewings, was the when the big bad brother does the runes with the soothsayer, and he keeps asking them the questions. So he figures out what the runes will be, and he's like, all right, you know, are you working for my brother? And throws the runes up, you know, real high. And I just, what a freaking awesome scene. You know, it just shows you that this other world on the other side of this wall is.
Well, and again, that's Mark Strong. I mean, Mark Strong is a great freaking actor who is one of those guys that hasn't really gotten his due yet,
because he's been typecast as villains. I mean, there's this, there's Kick-Ass, there's Green Lantern. Yeah, he is
a pretty good
villain.
There's
John Carter. There's the Sherlock Holmes movie.
All of those movies have been kind of thankless for him.
Yeah, oh, yeah, he is the villain in all the Sherlock Holmes movies, too.
Well, just that first one.
Have been kind of thankless movies for him. He's way better than what he gets.
And see, I kind of saw that in Kick-Ass because he got to play a dad.
He's great in Kick-Ass. He's great also in John Carter. He's great in, he's actually the best part of Green Lantern.
True. Yes, absolutely. 100%. But I see what you mean, though. The generics villain is pretty much a thankless role. For him to break out, from. And especially in this case,
he's absolutely kicking ass and taking names. He is great in this movie.
Oh, at the end when he meets Charlie Cox, and he's like, it was just so almost. I was almost embarrassed for Charlie. I'm like, oh man, dude, Mark Strong's acting circles around you, and he's got like two word lines. It's just it was like Mark Strong showed up.
This movie
to,
has one of the best sword fight scenes I've seen in a long time. Right there at the end.
Yes,
it really. Yeah, it really does.
All throughout though, great fight choreography.
Oh, but to back up a little bit, I watched this with the commentary on, and this is before Henry Cavill was cast as Superman, and Matthew Vaughn is sitting there going, "That Cavill guy is fantastic, and he's going to be huge." So that in and of itself almost makes me feel really good about Superman. And I'm kind of more excited for Man of Steel, knowing that Matthew Vaughn was like, dude, this guy's fantastic. He's going to be huge.
You guys make me feel like a communist. I just have never been a big Superman fan.
Well, Superman was the first superhero, really.
You can argue
for the Shadow, and you can argue for Doc Savage, and blah. But and Superman
Green
was
Lantern,
the first superhero. He just celebrated his 75th anniversary, it's just one of those that because of the nature of the character, because he does good because it's good. That's seen as passe anymore, and he's dull.
Because you're right. Horrible monsters.
And I agree. You don't have to explain why Superman's awesome, but I guess when it comes to the other ones, I am a superhero lover of the ones without the powers.
I am too.
It's not that I look down upon them. but
Superman's problem is that he keeps getting bad writers. And that's been his problem.
Well, that's just because apparently Mark Waid made somebody angry at DC, and they won't let him write Superman. if they would let Mark Waid write Superman, all problems would be solved.
Well, hell, I'd put in kind words for Roger Stern every once in a while.
Absolutely,
and of course
Roger Stern did a great job when they let him.
Superman was one of the first Atari 26. Actually, it might have been. E.T. might have been the first one, which was like the worst
Maybe
video game
that's
ever
what
made.
Tainted you towards Superman is that
Atari 2600 game kind of sucks.
The 2600 Superman. Yep, that was one of my biggest run-ins with Superman at that time, and I all the comics I had, even my brothers and stuff. No Superman comics. It was a lot of Marvel stuff, really, but then Batman action comics and
of course.
Or detective comics and stuff. And
yeah, I'm a big Batman guy.
I do like Batman.
To the point that I have, I need about 60 copies of Batman, and then I'll have every issue of Batman from 101 on.
Nice.
Wow.
That's impressive. But see, I'm about to make you both feel old because Superman's death and resurrection was what got me into comics. So I have a bit of an
You're
affinity.
Right. I feel old.
Yeah, with the big blue voice.
And that was Roger Stern.
And that was, yes. And everybody else who was in the house at that time. Carl Kessel, too. He did great work.
Yep.
My idea of a mutant was Wolverine. That was like as much of a mutated.
See, like, I never... I liked the X-Men for a while.
No, it wasn't the X-Men. It was Wolverine. It was like his. I never really cared for Wolverine. That and Punisher. Punisher was my favorite. And
I hated Punisher.
Really? See, Punisher was the
my
one
superheroes don't kill people.
Yeah. That is pretty awesome. You know that I never really thought about that, but you're right. There is the part of the comic code.
Some of us think about it era. Every day.
really.
Oh, I think about killing people all the time. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I mean, like now that they've all become movies, because
I have to admit, the new Wolverine movie looks pretty great.
Well, in movie protagonists, like almost have to kill people. That's just American movie law.
See, the Punisher and Wolverine felt like my comic heroes. They were for my time period, I felt like they were. And it wasn't that
you're
I could
absolutely
relate.
Right there.
It wasn't that I could relate with them because I couldn't relate. You know, I had
hard. We've gone pretty
girl.
Far afield.
What me?
No, if you relate to Frank Castle, then you've got some serious.
Right,
issues.
Right. But I just thought it was well. I mean, what kid doesn't like looking at like Punisher World Journal, right?
Me,
you know, with all. Oh, okay, all right. Well, I just thought it was cool seeing all the guns, and that was the kind of stuff
fair.
I like to draw. And anyway, so folks, we are talking
fair,
about Stardust.
Punisher was not welcome in my horrific community.
There was
so.
No guns at all in this movie.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah, that's true.
You can't say that. There were swords.
Well, there's kind of a lightning.
There was magic.
Gun.
There was magic. No, but there was no conventional guns. So that's worth mentioning. So,
it's a very family-friendly movie.
See how I brought that all back around? That's pretty amazing. Well, it's PG-13.
You say that like it's a good thing, Mike.
It is a good thing. There's nothing wrong with being family-friendly.
No, there isn't at all.
You can be a family-friendly movie and still be a good movie.
I actually don't even – not even quite sure why you got a PG-13 except for I think it was just adult-natured.
Well, they do
really, though?
Kill a bunch of people.
Yeah, there is that.
But they die in a comical way.
When
like,
they kill all of the brothers, they bleed blue.
Or blue.
They do.
It was blue.
They have actual blue.
Yeah,
blood.
Yeah, yeah. It was blue. It wasn't green. Yeah,
which does make it easier to get away with killing people.
That's a good
point.
Well,
no, that actually changes.
I hadn't thought about that.
That changes the perception, absolutely.
Well, yeah.
Makes him an alien.
Plus, you know, blood is red, so you can't show red blood and still keep your rating.
Yeah, that would have made this movie an R easily because we got slit
throats. But they're aliens, but it shows that they're not humans. They're stars. They're all stars, right? Or they're not.
Well, no, they're
fairy people.
They're fairies, basically. Yeah, they're the fae folk.
That was kind of confusing. But it was all right.
Well,
but
they don't really explain it.
No, I didn't feel like they needed to. But folks, you know what? We will discuss it when we go to break. And we'll come back and we'll let you know exactly what kind of creatures they were. Or not. We might just move past it.
Let's move past it.
So enjoy this halftime message. We'll be right back.
You light the skies up above me. A star so bright, you blind me. Yeah, don't close.
Ladies and gentlemen, have a seat. I'm about to show you a product everyone is sure to need. This product I have right here is small and light and weight and can be concealed in any handbag or briefcase.
Stardust.
We're not sure just what it does, but the response has been overwhelming from clients that tell us.
And it wasn't for this here product and so on.
Man, there's so many letters and they go on and on. It's a miracle in a bottle and it sells itself. If you got problems in life, this here product can help. This opportunity is golden. I'm holding in my hand the key to a brand new life for those who have a shilling or two and been compelled by the product and intrigued about what it can do for you. Honest, it's the last case I got, and when they're gone, they're gone. Take a chance with Stardust, it'll fix whatever's wrong.
Nothing can be better than this. It only costs what you're spending on it. It's absolutely not a hustle or fraud. You're either buying or you're moving along. Nothing can be better than this. It only costs what you're spending on it. It's absolutely not a hustle or fraud. You're either buying or you're moving along.
What's this you ask? I can't say, cause what I'm selling here today affects each in a different way. And I'd be glad to give you a little sample, but the dabble is an ample. Plus, if people see that I get trampled, grab hold of my hand, ma'am, and walk with me. Don't go hide in the back and try to talk to me. I can see them start to well up in your eyes like raindrops falling from the sky. Give it a try. And how about you? Ain't you sick of being picked on for nothing? Well, I'ma tell you what to do. Ain't you sick of being pushed, hit, kicked, and even spit on? We'll get you some of this and then tell them haters to get on. Now I've been living off the stuff that we've been selling for some time. Now, but look at me, I'm finer than a lion now. I didn't come to pull a wool over your eyes, but if you're looking for a change, and it's finally arrived.
Nothing can be better than this. It only costs what you're spending on it. It's absolutely not a hustle or fraud. You're either buying or you're moving along. Nothing can be better than this. It only costs what you're spending on it. It's absolutely not a hustle or fraud. You're either buying or you're moving along.
Come with us as we embark on the tale of a salesman slash hustler. Cause if you got money, you're a potential customer. Have you ever seen something unbelievable in your life? Probably not, but people are ready to buy anything from anybody, anytime at all. Snake oils, wristwatch, Stardust, you got it all. And it's all half off and everything has to go. It's a limited time offer cause funds are running real low.
Before you wake up, we're already gone. On our way, another town, another story evolves. And it's been done for so long that I don't even feel wrong. It's second nature, it's as easy as just walking along. I never tie myself down, anything I couldn't leave in less than 20 seconds. And believe, I won't forget it, I'm a hustler. You could trace it in my bloodlines. Asking for the name of the greatest, I bet they say mine.
Nothing can be better than this. It only costs what you're spending on it. It's absolutely not a hustle or fraud.
Traumatic Cinematic, bitches.
Check us out, traumaticcinematic.com.
I know you.
I'm watching you right now.
Not really, or maybe I am. However, I guess you're sat there late at night, probably not wearing much and scratching yourself, scouring some podcast-providing service, desperate to find the one glimmer of hope in a sea of blabbermouth halflings expounding their opinions to nobody. You like B-movies, but which B-movie podcast do you pick? Well, look no further. Bypass the rows and rows of other shiny shows and delve instead into the beautiful and brilliant B-movie Bargain Bin. You know how you know it's good? No, it's not just the beards the hosts have, although that's a definite plus. It's the films. It's the fun. It's the fact that by listening to the show, you can also get a discount at cheesyflicks.com. That's right, a full, fantastic, knowledgeable B-movie podcast and actual bargains on B-movies. That's once a month at bmoviebargainbin.com. Two men, two beards, two films, one show, the B-movie Bargain Bin. We can't and won't be better. Come on down today to bmoviebargainbin.com, just off Route 49, next to the store with all the stuffed sheepheads in the window. We dog it.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're still with us. You're still currently listening to the Traumatic Cinematic Show. Ooh, I'm your love doctor tonight, Mr. Mugumbo, and I'm your number one ride, your ticket to outer space. We're watching Stardust, baby. Yeah. It's out of this world. Ow.
No, that's the Werewolf of London.
This movie was really romantic. This was definitely like
And Claire Danes' hair is perfect.
She's trashy too. She has no eyebrows.
Blonde.
She has no eyebrows.
Yeah, I always preferred the redhead myself. But that's
you know what that makes me feel like how am I supposed to be turned on when I see no eyebrows? I think Clockwork Orange, right? So, like, when I see a girl with no eyebrows, I'm like, that's some kind of cute-looking Clockwork Orange weird shit. So, I don't know.
Too much... Okay, what gets me about Claire Danes nowadays is the fact that she was Catherine Brewster in Terminator 3. And so I can't see her anymore without, no matter what she's playing or what accent she's adopted, without thinking like, shit.
If you want to fix that, she recently, a couple years ago, she did a movie. She was Temple Grandin in a movie about Temple Grandin.
Okay, that might work.
So watch that, and that'll probably scrub that out of your brain.
And it's about time she got, like, you know, her own starring role, because goddamn, she has been a working actor forever at this point.
When it comes to hotness, I think Michelle Pfeiffer brought the hotness in the few moments that she wasn't turning into an old hag, which I would go for the liver spots on her arms. I can handle that. But then it got a little out of hand.
Old age makeup was the best, I think, of the three witches.
Because she was obviously on screen, and she was the most famous of them all.
That's true. Which, yeah, that's the thing. But she makes a good villain. I mean, she's done better.
She did a great job.
I'm sure.
Has she ever been a villain in anything before? Really, women don't get a chance to play. Catwoman, really? She was like the bad girl. He's a bad girl. Like,
Catwoman doesn't count.
I think everybody in Grease 2 is kind of a villain of some fashion.
Really?
Including everyone who made the movie, yes. Michelle actually hasn't gotten... You're right, actually, Mike. Michelle hasn't gotten that much of an opportunity to be much more... She graduated from... she pretty much became leading lady, right? It's been too long since I've seen Grease 2, but that's pretty much her movie, isn't it?
I can't honestly remember, I'll be honest with you.
How about you, Louie?
I've kind of blocked it
out. When I think Michelle Pfeiffer, when I think Grease 2, I honestly swear to God, wasn't Sylvester Stallone had something to do with that movie, did he not? Travolta was still in it, wasn't he? Or was it not that? What the hell movie am I thinking of? Travolta was in it. He was dancing all over the place. It wasn't Staying Alive. It was Staying Alive 2.
I think you might be thinking of Staying Alive.
Was it Staying Alive 2? Or was it just Staying Alive?
No.
It was just Staying Alive.
Is that Stallone's movie?
I think Stallone did, in fact, have something to do with that.
That is burnt into my brain. When you say Grease 2, I'm thinking, just immediately, I'm burnt to seeing Travolta dancing for Stallone. Hey, yo, like, hey, yo, what's going on?
Staying Alive.
Okay, so.
And wrote it.
There we know where my delusional brain has gone, which really has nothing to do with this silliness of a movie.
Matter of fact, Grease 2 came out the year before Staying Alive.
Maybe they were all musicals of that time period that I've never really paid a whole lot of attention to. I apologize. There is no music in this movie.
There is.
There's score, but there's no singing. Nobody breaks in the song.
Well, no, not till the very, very end.
Nobody dances around.
Well, yeah, they do. De Niro actually teaches our lovers how to waltz.
How to waltz.
Because he's that much of a badass.
Yes. Yeah.
And he, on the deck of a flying ship, basically.
Dirigible ship, yep.
And, oh God, you can totally tell this was a Matthew Vaughn movie when we got to the Air Pirates. And there's that scene where we follow the lightning down from their little lightning catchers into the bowels of the ship and shit. I'm like, oh, okay. Yep.
One thing I will say is,
it was great. I love that part. He's got style, this kid. I can totally see why they gave him the X-Men.
Through my multiple viewings of this, I definitely noticed that I was like, so certain things didn't make sense. But there is a candle that allows them to be able to, like, think of a place to go, and they can go there.
Called a Babylon candle.
A Babylon candle, which is a very important thing, which is a very ancient thing and very difficult to get a hold of. But anyway, he has one, and the reason they get picked up by the ship, and I didn't realize this the first three times I watched it this week, but this tonight I definitely got it. And so they basically meet in the middle, and they pop up on a cloud, and the ships with the flying dirigible boat basically picks them up. Is basically how they get off the cloud, isn't it?
The boat named the Caspertine, apparently, because it's named after Matthew Vaughn's kids, Casper and Clementine.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
Sorry, just one of those trivia things I picked up watching in the commentary.
Yeah, I imagine. I love commentaries. But when they pick, like, that dirigible ship is so iconic in a couple different things, and... Like it definitely.
Oh, it looks great with the wing splayed out.
Definitely reminds me of like Baron Munchausen. Like I totally that's what really kind of like sold me on the whole Baron Munchausen thing.
Yeah.
Well, apparently they offered Terry Gilliam to do this at one point, and he ended up not being able to do it.
Oh my goodness! Really? Like he would have loved to do this. Like this is
he would have knocked this written all over the Green Monster, and
I don't know. Like there might like he might have actually needed more money. He would have been bigger than this movie.
Terry Gilliam had just done The Brothers Grimm.
Yeah, and I was
didn't
about
want
to say,
do another fairy tale.
Oh. I was about to say that kind of that experience probably kind of ruined it for probably for
I
a while.
I would imagine.
Well, you know, if he had both scripts sitting there, it'd have been hard to have like saw it in text. Because I own Brothers Grimm. And I bought on Blu-ray.
It's not his strongest movie. It's definitely his attempt at corporate movie making.
He didn't write it, so he can't be fully responsible, right?
True. Well, and it was a big studio tentpole movie. So no, of course he can't be fully responsible.
Like, and he didn't have Final Cut, I'm sure.
No, he had to submit every decision he made to like three boardrooms full
of
assholes.
Which is a miserable thing to do. So he made what they wanted them to make. So
for Terry Gilliam to make this movie, to make Stardust, it would have had to have been Terry Gilliam's take on the material. And how do you really justify rewriting Neil Gaiman to the extent that would have been rewritten?
Goldman
still rewrote Neil Gaiman.
You team up and you like actually sit down and write together the screenplay or with an actual writer. You know, like it becomes that awesome like uber geek fandom kind of thing.
That's how you
do something epic like that.
And you probably don't even need to do that
like The
much
Walking
with
Dead.
Neil Gaiman.
Isn't The Walking Dead kind of like that? The original author of The Walking Dead is actually writing the TV show.
Yeah, he's very much a hands-on guy.
So that allows him to have that creative, like, hey, this is my world. I can change the shit if I fucking want to.
Yep. And George R. R. Martin.
You can't say, oh, well, the TV show's not as good as cop. It's all my fucking mind, you know?
Yep.
If I want, you know, the dude from Boondock Saints to be in my show, I'm going to write a fucking part for him.
And you know what? He's the best guy in the show.
He is. He really is. So back onto this movie. I don't need to go spoiling shit, just tossing it around.
By the way, Dave, just to make you feel better, because you were commenting on Claire Danes' accent earlier. They originally offered it to Sarah Michelle Gellar, but she turned it down because she wanted to spend time with her husband.
Which is very sweet. I wonder what, but it's also the politician's excuse. I wonder what she was actually doing.
Well, I will say it was apparently also turned down by Anne Hathaway, Scarlett Johansson, and Jessica Alba.
It wasn't me.
All of whom I'm glad that Claire could get
it. I love, of course, I'm a huge Buffy fan, so that's.
But still, SMG.
I think Claire Danes was actually really good in this.
Yeah, SMG is badass, but I would not want to listen to 2 hours of her trying to fake through a British accent. I mean,
well, that was kind of where I was going. Yeah,
yeah. Claire here, at least. I didn't fall in love
with her character. You know, my favorite character in this entire movie is the Billy Goat. He was fucking awesome. The Billy Goat was fucking awesome. Because
I like De Niro in this movie.
Yeah, actually, to be honest with you, I think it was De Niro. But Billy Goat was fun.
You want to be Captain Shakespeare. You identify with the Billy Goat guy.
Right. Well, the Billy Goat guy, he actually, I thought it was John Turturro for a second. Like,
that would have been awesome. That would have been glorious.
But like, and I looked at him like, and I'm like, no, but because he never speaks, so I can never hear his voice. But it could have been him, you know, like because that happens, right? They people will do like uncredited, like
Turturro's just the kind of guy that might have said, dude, I just want to be in the fucking movie.
Yeah, like he was on set for a day, like hanging out, like you know.
He does kind of strike me as that type of guy.
Well, like if you get to that point in the movie, or if you watch it again, like look for that. Like I don't know, like just to see if you see that similarness there of that.
No, I get it. Yeah.
Well, like
no,
just like Robin Williams is
Mark Williams. Oh,
Robin Williams is unaccredited. What?
It's Mark Williams. He played Rory's dad in Doctor Who.
And he's been in the Harry Potter movies as Arthur
he's
Weasley.
He's Arthur Weasley in Harry Potter.
Oh, okay, all right.
That's why he looks so damn familiar.
Okay, well, I thought he, well, all right, it was the wrong familiar. So it is a non-speaking role, too. So it's kind of under, you know.
But underutilized real national resource.
I didn't know it was him until I looked it up here just a moment ago.
Oh, well, that's
and
that
once
was
I see
cool.
it, you go, oh, of course it's him.
Right,
but
right.
But this
movie's
jam-packed with those people is the thing.
Oh, absolutely.
This is a great cast that was, not utilized to their fullest.
Well,
but
the dude that was the, again, the pawn shop guy or whatever that they were trying to... Yeah, he I liked it. I like him. He's got a British accent and a way of delivery of whatever he says.
He is British. That's why he has a British accent.
Well, no. but he has a particular snotty one for his delivery that he gives to you. He sounds all posh and nice and firm, but
just Ricky Gervais.
Yeah, he just in the yeah, like he's awesome. Like.
And again, it's such a contrast.
I like his Office episodes. Actually, I've probably seen more of the UK's Office than I have the American's Office.
That's funny, there's like 100 more episodes of the American Office than there are the UK Office.
Well, I've probably only seen 12 of the UK and like 5 of the American, so.
That means you've probably seen almost all of the UK one.
You are not alone.
Oh, really? Is that a longer? I haven't watched a lot.
There are only like 14 episodes.
No,
that's what I'm saying. I don't watch very much of them. So,
well, the British Office knew when to quit.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. My best friend in Meat Space loves British Office and can't stand American Office.
Best friend in Meat Space.
Yes.
Really? Are we talking like the internet in person now?
Yes. Yes, we are.
Why?
Because I read a hell of a lot of cyberpunk when I was very impressionable.
William Gibson is not my god. Shut up.
Well, reference? Like, he actually he referenced the internet as its own entity, like in MeSpace, which is our internet, right? Well, which I guess
space
I call like
real
like
life.
No, MeSpace. This is cyberspace that we're on right now.
Okay. Duh. We'll see.
Twitter is cyberspace. Days of the Dead is meat space.
Okay. All right. Okay.
But no. Speaking of people who sound like other people, I was getting kind of a Richard Milligan vibe off of Robert De Niro in this role.
Did anybody else when they saw the unicorn? Did anyone else when they saw the unicorn want to like look over to someone next to him and go bro hoof? Anybody?
No. I was waiting for the America songs to start.
I was waiting. Yeah, thank you, Mike. That's exactly right. That's it.
You know another name. One other epic movie with a unicorn in it. Epic, like
the last unicorn.
The Last Unicorn. Yeah.
No.
Based on the novel by Peter S. Beagle, who got completely screwed out of the movie stuff.
I've never heard of it, so it can't be for that epic. I was thinking of Legend.
Oh well, okay, that works too.
I'll give you Legend.
Yeah, but I like the last
you have
unicorn
to.
More.
Like, well,
the
you fucking have
character.
To. Like,
Unicorn was actually more of an epic too, as opposed to Legend,
the unicorn in Legend was real, as opposed to that other one you're talking about, which was probably a goat with seed planted in its head.
Well, it was actually animated, but
Oh, well, then it definitely wasn't real then.
Hey, it was animated by Toei, animation company.
Doesn't make it any more real.
Hey, they created Dragon Ball Z.
Legend, America.
Legend had a real unicorn in it.
That's true.
Tom Cruise was in it, and the Scientology, which he wasn't even a part of at that time, still provided a unicorn, a real unicorn for that movie.
And a real
Tim Curry transformed
into a real Satan.
That's how they stole
his soul.
Those
are really Tim Curry's horns.
Yeah, he revealed his true form just for that film.
Well, that's...
And the unicorn obviously had children.
He actually had three horns in that movie, but they only shot that movie from his waist up.
I like to think that after Amalthea...
Come on, really? Is this fucking thing on? Tap, tap, tap.
No, sorry. Sorry, Louis.
Yeah, we just moved on. Sorry.
No, I like to think that after Amalthea rescued all the unicorns from King Haggard, that they all just roamed the land righting wrongs and correcting injustices. So that's why one just comes out of nowhere to save Claire Danes in this movie.
There you go. I actually like that quite a bit.
I actually took notes that this was a movie about bondage.
Oh, it totally is. It totally is. It's running all throughout this theme. This is a better bondage movie than the 50 Shades of Grey movie.
I really do, especially when it comes to the slavery.
I'm saying that sight unseen.
The slavery chain. The slavery chain was
wrapped around my arm today when I donated blood, and that was better bondage than 50 Shades of Grey. So.
Really, Mike? You bring out the gimp. Oh, no, Mike's podcasting. You got to give him another 20 minutes. He'll be out.
Yeah, you know what, though? Shut up. when you write a book.
Like at the end of the podcast, I got to find a sound effect that says zipper. All right, good night, Mike. Good night. Zip. Zip.
When your book starts its life as Twilight fan fiction, you don't get to have good things said about you.
We are going to have you eventually. <lose. laughs> We're going to have somebody on that is kind of like I wouldn't say Twilight. She's a little more hardcore than Twilight. Like a zombie smut, like zombies having sex. Like
there's
zombie
nothing wrong with that.
Like I love that. Like push the envelope. Like it actually makes me want to like grab one and read it. Like in secrecy.
It's not my thing, but I got no problem with it. A problem with is poorly written shit.
Yes, exactly. And we can poorly adapted shit. Speaking of Stardust. Oh, there we go.
I don't think this was poorly adapted.
I think that's pretty much what we've been driving at all this time we've been talking.
I think the problem is one of the things that
I learned when I was reading this is that he had a lot of problems getting schedules to coordinate. So sometimes there are points where they do faraway shots or, a turn of the head or Lord so on and so forth.
The Lord of the Rings helicopter shots of sweeping vistas.
Yes, because they literally did not have the actual person in the shot. They could not get them there to shoot that day.
Damn.
There's a scene where Una is comforting Yvaine in the back of the carriage where Yvaine's kind of got her head turned in. It's not Claire Danes.
Yeah, they couldn't get Claire for that day. Okay, that's unfortunate.
But apparently there's a lot of that, and, that takes its toll.
It does.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Like one thing that I had noticed and I mentioned during the break was that this movie felt like you were watching this on a 19-inch television, but the picture was, for a 42-inch screen. It was like we were only getting like a tunnel vision portion of this world. You could really feel that the rest of the set was all built outside of it. That was all developed, but I don't know. I really felt
left
out. A lot
of it was apparently shot in like Scotland and Wales and just those gorgeous areas that I would love to go visit someday.
Tell when they're outside. So you can totally tell when they're really outside, and
maybe that was part of what really made it feel so big.
Yep. Exactly.
I loved it. It just every time I watched it, I really picked up more and more and more. It is a difficult story to follow because it is so big and grandiose. If you're gonna watch this, this is definitely where I do kind of like my movies to like watch in a group and to laugh and throw shit at the screen and make fun of it and enjoy it in that sort of aspect, or to be on the edge of my seat waiting and chewing on my nails over kind of a experience. This was deep and big and taxing, really. But I loved it. I would own this on Blu-ray, absolutely. I would love to see this in a big
surround sound. I do own this on Blu-ray.
Of course you do, and Mike. Mike, you know why? Because you own everything on Blu-ray.
And it's worth it.
The only thing you don't own Blu-ray is what comes out next Tuesday. Yeah,
well, that's it.
Well, he's pre-ordered that, though, so technically he does own it, because he has paid for it.
Oh,
so,
damn, well, Dave.
My account doesn't charge until it actually ships, so.
Oh, okay. Never mind, then. Never mind. My logic is flawed.
Plus, you need to bring better Wushu.
And I will wait until the Barnes & Noble sales.
Good point.
Correct.
Which, since they just announced Devil's Backbone, finally, for July.
Yep. About time. That's about time. But yeah.
So what else, guys? Like we got to have more about this. I've really been bad. I've let you guys run off on tangents.
And, best use of a voodoo doll in a fight scene.
Ooh, yes. Man.
And one of the things they were talking about in the commentary is that he's hanging from a wire that they've digitally removed. But he's hanging from a wire and doing a sword fight. And it's so good.
That's nice. That makes sense.
We're not doing that justice, but I don't want to give the whole thing away.
But it works
because it's
right?
One of those things that just you should see it.
It totally does. It's the best fight between a hero and a living corpse since shit. I got a real Jason and the Argonauts vibe off of the entire last half of this movie.
Oh, it could absolutely be a Jason and the
Seventh Voyage of Sinbad. I'm sorry.
Yeah, really, once they start tying the loose ends together, the story that they were just literally tossing these ingredients into this bowl as fast as they could, like boom, boom, we got paprika, we got freaking salt, we got Claire Danes, we got freaking Michelle Shell Viper, we got fucking witches and bitches and whores and tours and bondage and trees and
cross-dressing Robert De Niro's.
Yeah, on
squawking
ships that fly around. Hey, have you ever landed a ship in the middle of the sea? Oh, it's not easy. Kind of shit. It mixes up together, and man, once they start getting that going, like it really does. Like the last 15, 20 minutes of this is like, good stuff. I don't want to like go spilling the goods here, but it is like the sword fight and stuff.
Really
it's
a movie. It's a very satisfying end to the movie.
Yes,
too.
It really does. It really brings it all together real well. Doesn't leave you hanging for that next, like what will happen next to the happy ending, or and they lived happily ever after, or did they?
No, there's none of that
they
shit.
They did.
It's just like, it starts.
Oh, Tristan, we must go to the future. Oh, your kids there turned out horrible.
You're not going to believe it.
One of the things I still love about this movie is that they randomly we've talked about some of the great actors that are in here and just don't get their due. You know, one of the biggest names in this movie is Rupert Everett, and he's a glorified cameo.
Well, all of Septimus's brothers kind of are. I mean, you got Jason Fleming up in there. You got
Mark Heap.
Rupert Everett, he just...
Well, he walks in and suddenly go, oh, okay, he's going to be the bad guy.
Yeah, right? Because you're so used to it. But then he dies, and he becomes the ghostly Greek chorus for...
And we're not really spoiling anything, because that happens pretty much immediately for him. So
I did love the entire royal family's interactions and introduction. I mean, again, I'm going to name drop Game of Thrones,
there's
like we
more of it in the deleted scenes.
I'm not surprised, because that felt like we walked into the end of somebody else's miniseries or something.
Yeah. There's some funny stuff in there.
Like something, yes, like something John Milius would have done. yeah. If Rome had, like, been a hit and he'd, like, moved forward or something. Because with these guys, they're just all a bunch of backstabbing monsters. It's great. And all a bunch of great character actors that make you go, oh, it's that guy. Oh, it's that guy.
Something else to pay attention, at the very end, when you see seven little lights, they make a point of six of them go up and one of them goes down.
Yep. Yep. That's true. They're good.
There was a
real brain behind all of this. Several, in fact. They really knew what they were doing. They were doing they were doing their own fairy tale. They were doing a modern fairy tale, and you don't
They paid attention. They engaged the audience, and they didn't pander.
And you don't get many of those anymore. We're used to the Disney mode, which just okay. What Hans Christian Andersen thing haven't we done? Throw something at the dartboard. And we don't, or the Pixar model, which is like, okay, what's popular right now? Toys, toy collecting, superheroes, NASCAR. Okay.
Hey now, don't you go bagging on Incredibles. So, that's still one of my all-time favorite movies.
All right. Mine too. Right. But I can still recognize their marketing
logic. I'm roping you in.
At play.
Roping you guys in. I just threw a lasso over both of you. Tying at the cinch. We're pulling you together. All right, guys. What are we watching next week?
Fear and Loathing.
Are we talking about that now?
In Las Vegas.
We're going to give them a little teaser here. Well, why not, right? We've only got a couple minutes left. If you've made it this far, you deserve to know a little bit. Because we are kind of secretive about the future, even though we do plan out far in advance. That way,
may not be on next week's episode. We'll see.
We will see.
I could be in Chicago. So,
no, you'll be in Barstow. Or just outside of Barstow.
Hey, remember, a headset and your iPhone, and you could record driving.
Anything? No, not driving.
I'm taking the train.
Train, that'd be awesome. Like, let's do the podcast. Mike's on location. Let's do... you'll just call me and I'll have the mixer going by then and you can be tuned in via normal, I don't know. Like you shouldn't have minutes planned.
If you take the train, Mike.
So you know, like we can talk about this later, but we should do the Blues Brothers if we're going to do that. If you're going to go to Chicago, we should do the Blues Brothers.
Ooh.
I'm perfectly fine with doing Blues Brothers or something.
Yeah. Now you're tempting me. Damn. That's a great idea.
So, like, I guess, folks, we shouldn't be giving teasers because shit can change on a dime. Like, we could,
we could just junk everything.
That's the freedom.
That's okay. Just remember, in July, Kentucky Fried Movie comes out on Blu-ray, and Dave and I have talked about this before. We need to make you watch that movie.
Yeah, we doing Kentucky Fried Movie, yo. Yeah, we're
all right. All right, it's gonna happen. You heard it, ladies and gentlemen.
And Mike, if you do take the train, don't talk to strangers.
Or to eat candy. Ooh, some candy. Ooh, some candy. Ooh, some candy. Ooh, I found some candy.
I am no James Woods.
Ooh, I found some candy. Ooh, I found some candy.
Which is too bad, because then you could be the best owl man.
That would be awesome, Mike. Like Mike on location. Like, why does Mike sound so weird? Because he called in from his... Or, like, we sent him on a road trip. We did a Kickstarter. We didn't tell anybody about it. And we got $250, so we sent him on a train to Chicago.
$250.
We sent him to get us a bag of lemon drops,
and a fucking slice of deep dish pizza.
Yeah, it better not be cold when you get back. All right. So hey, it was a great show. I love this movie. I will buy this movie. I would own this movie. I would share this movie with my kids, even though I don't think that a little kid could get through it.
You don't underestimate him.
Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe they wouldn't have. I don't know. Like it was. I had a hard time not getting distracted. And that
first,
that just,
go
can
and get
just
them the They Might Be Giants. Here come the ABCs, and here come the 1-2-3s. Then once they've got those mastered, then this movie.
Yeah, that's true.
Actually, and, I think those are available for my kids' leap pad.
Well, you should get them because they're awesome, and all my nieces and nephews have copies.
Excellent day. Excellent day. Any final words, guys? Dave, where can we find you?
You can find me at my website, and you thought it was safe, which is at AYTIWS.com.
Mike?
At Gray Matter Splat.
And I'm at Gen X Nerd. It's been real nice having y'all here tonight. We really enjoyed it. Thank you for coming. We hope you come again. I'm on the internet.